John chapter 6. I'm gonna preach a very familiar story, and I'm going to take a few things out of that story, a few observations. How many of you believe that if something is in the Bible just one time is of utmost importance? This story right here is the only story besides the only miracle besides the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is recorded in all four Gospels. And so I'm sure that we need to pay attention to this portion of Scripture, of course, just like all Scripture. I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read a good portion of Scripture this morning, and then I'll get into the message that he would have for us this morning. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And of course, nigh means close. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Let me just stop there for a minute. Typically, when you would actually see Jesus ask maybe a disciple or maybe a Pharisee or Sadducee a question, it wasn't because Jesus did not know what was happening. A lot of times, the reason why Jesus would ask a question to somebody was not so that way they can counsel him. He wanted to get the people to think. And when he asked the disciples right here about how he may feed them, it wasn't because Jesus was taken back and just suddenly surprised that wow, all these people are hungry. No, Jesus already knew what he would do. He just wanted to get them to think. Some people may call it a probing question, and he wanted to get them to think what he was asking. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down, and there was much grass. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. Try saying that five times. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets with fragments of five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that a prophet should come into the world. A very amazing story right here. I'll get into a little bit of the story and then the message. Let's pray first, but I want to just preach for the next few minutes on this simple thought called the Lord, the lad, and the leftovers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you do for us. Father, we sure do love you, and thank you for this church. Help us to get something from your word this hour. Lord, please use me. And please be glorified with what is said this hour. Fill me with your power as I preach to the wonderful people of Blessed Hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Very amazing story right here. This is the only miracle besides the resurrection to appear in all four Gospels. Now, of course, Jesus had a multitude of followers. Right here in this portion of scripture, the Bible says that that there were 5,000 men that were set down. Now the part about this story is that. A lot of people don't realize that those were just the men that sat down. There could have been, if you wanted to add women and children, there could have been between 10,000 to 20,000 people sitting down and being fed in this portion of Scripture. Very amazing story. And a lot of times when Jesus would do something so that way his name could be magnified and his name could be glorified through all the miracles that he did. So that way people could say that, like right here said that this is of a truth that a prophet should come into the world. And a lot of times in the Bible, he does things because he wants his name to be magnified throughout the world. And right here, as if you take in consideration, they are in the Middle East. It's very hot. It's very dry there. It's very dry, and people were probably tired and hungry, and they were probably thirsty, and they're walking probably on foot in some desert places up into a mountain. And however, right here, Jesus fed everybody fed the multitude over here. And I'm going somewhere. Just follow me for a minute. I kind of understand. I maybe get a glimpse into what the disciples may have felt. One year when I was working at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, one of the goals that we had up there was for a youth conference was we wanted to have 10,000 teenagers there. And so we worked hard to try to promote youth conference and have 10,000 teenagers come to this big youth conference. About noontime, we would have to feed all these different people, and there would be these white boxes. I don't know if you guys went to that youth conference or not, but there were these white boxes, and inside they had a sandwich, and they had a drink and a bag of chips, and they were just in these white boxes, and we passed out all these different white boxes to everybody. After lunch, and when they went to the next session, I would walk down the alley and I would see all these different boxes just filled up in garbage cans. And I just have to imagine the fragments that remain. The Bible says there were 12 baskets full of fragments that remain of the barley loaves and fishes. An amazing story. For the next few minutes, I just wish to touch briefly on the simple thought, the Lord, the lad, and the leftovers. If you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew, we're going to use our Bibles just a little bit this morning. Chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. This is the first account of this story. And if you'll look with me in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 14, it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion towards them." Notice what it says right there, that he was moved with compassion towards them and he healed their sick. If you'll look with me in Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to read in verse 36. It says, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they had fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then look at this verse right here. It says, "Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You notice right here that this is one of the only prayer requests of Jesus Christ. And he said that pray that there will be more laborers to go out into his harvest. And then if you'll turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I'm sure by now you've gotten a little bit of the theme of what I'm preaching about the Lord. But if you look at me in Mark chapter 6, In Mark chapter 6, in verse 34, the Bible says, "And when he was come out, he saw much compassion. He saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." There's no doubt, if you look through Scripture, you look throughout the life of Christ, there is no doubt that Jesus was a compassionate God. Jesus was moved with compassion in many different parts of Scripture, if you actually read throughout his life. And we as a people, we as believers, need to learn that we need to be moved with compassion upon the multitudes out there. Do you understand that there is a difference between pity and there's a difference between pity and compassion? Notice that the theme right here, when Jesus was moved with compassion, notice that the key verse was that he was moved with compassion. Then after he was moved with compassion, he acted upon that compassion. And there are people out there that need Christians that are moved with compassion. It's easy to look at places like Belize and other places and say, "Man, I really feel sorry for those places. Those people do not have a Savior." However, compassion says, "I am going to be moved and I am going to do something about it." And in these very verses right here, he is talking about being moved with compassion. And there's a difference between compassion and pity. When I was in North Carolina a few weeks ago, there was a man that walked up to me and my wife. When we were over there, he came up to us and he said he wanted to know if we could buy him some food or give him some money. I looked at him and I wanted to just look at him for a minute. I said, "I will buy you something under one condition." He looked at me and he said, "What?" I took out a gospel tract and I gave it to him. And I said, "You must read that while I'm buying you food." He looked at me and he was just taken aback by that. But he looked at me and I looked at him. I said, "But you must read that." And so I went and I bought him food. As I saw him sitting, he was there reading the tract. A lot of times when we're trying to give the gospel out there, sometimes people will not listen to us because they do not trust us. But a lot of times when we're presenting the gospel, they are looking to see if we are the real deal, if we are a compassionate people, if we are people of love and compassion like we say we are. I wish to just read to you a song real quick. I'm not going to sing it, praise the Lord. But I just wish to read you a song real quick. It's a song that's, I think, is very fitting for a message like this. And I wish to just read it to you. And it's called "A World We Never Touch." It says, "And he walked along the shores of Galilee. From the clay he formed the healing balm that caused the blind to see. When the stones of wrath lay heavy in their hands, he knelt to write his mercy in the sand. Jesus came to set the captives free. Showed us by the way he lived, the way we need to be. Love is more than words can ever say. We must touch them with compassion to help them find their way." Then the second verse is, "Could we be..." I want you to listen to this because this is so true in many ways. "Could we be so busy being saved, trying to impress a world that's long since lost its way? We pride ourselves in being set apart." Can I just say something right there? I am for separation. My family, we are separate people. But if we are separate and we show no love and compassion, we are no better than the Pharisees. If we look down our Pharisaical noses and look at people and say, "I am better than you," then we are a lot like the Pharisees out there. When they were in the Bible and they would look down and say, "Look at all these lowly sinners down here." And they would say, I'm not a sinner at all." And when we look at the world like that, we are no better than those Pharisees. It says, "Yet we don't have time to touch a broken heart. Even if we found the time to care, would we risk the vowed and always being there? We hold the very thing they need so much. Sometimes the word of God can pass through such a simple touch." Compassion is being moved to do something so that way we can go and touch someone's life. A lot of times when Rob and I, we travel the country, we look out there, we watch a lot of different broken homes, and we watch people as they pass us by. It breaks our heart sometimes because we can't go and talk to every single person, but we want to go and tell them that, listen, we have the truth for you. We know what the truth is. We know what will help save your life. We know what will help change your life, and that is the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is the only person that can save you. And a lot of times we need to realize that sometimes being a person of compassion will help touch someone, and eventually they will get saved. Outside these church doors, or maybe even inside, there are people who are bitter. There are people who are vengeful. There are people with broken homes. Wives mad at their husbands. Husbands mad at their wives. Children's mentally and physically abused. People who feel... the only hope is in drugs and alcohol. People with cancer, people that are completely lost. People that feel like that the only way out is through suicide. There are people out there that just need Christians to look at them and say, "Here, I will help you with whatever you're going through." I wonder how many people would come back to church if there would be somebody that would pick up the phone and say, "We care about you." There was a man that I was at a missions conference a couple weeks ago up in Chicago, where I grew up at. And as I was at this missions conference, there was a man that used to be a huge soul winner, and he used to be very active in the church, but somehow he just ended up falling away from the Lord, and his life just completely crumbled before him. I found out that he went to this church where I was at a missions conference at. He just went a couple times, and when I found that out, I wanted to go and visit this man. And I looked at when I visited him, we went up to his door, and as soon as he saw me, he just broke down in tears and gave me a big hug. I didn't even have to say a word to him. He just said, "I'm so sorry you have to see me like this, Brother John. I'm so sorry that you have to, I'm just a complete mess." And I spent about 2 or 3 hours with him, just talking to him and listening to him. I told him, "You know what, there's this church that you started going to. Why don't you come back and get involved?" And because there was somebody that was compassionate enough to go and talk to him, the next day the man showed up at church. Because there was somebody that went to him and said, "Here, I am going to talk to you, and I'm going to try to help you through with whatever you're going through." About 10 years ago, there was a man that fell away from the Lord, became very backslidden, and became very. 2 weeks after he was saved, his father ended up passing away, and he became a very bitter person towards everything. He kept saying to himself, "You know, why would you allow something like this to happen to me after I just got saved 2 weeks ago?" And he ended up getting away from the Lord. He got back into very heavy drugs and alcohol, and he got back into a lot of different things, and he ended up getting into a lot of different. He started getting back into gangs and everything, and his whole entire life was messed up. However, he would call his pastor up, even though he was not going to church, and just pour his heart out to him. For 2 or 3 hours, his pastor would spend time on the phone with him for 2 or 3 hours sometimes, just listening to him and listening to his heartaches. Eventually, that young man ended up going back to church, and because of that, there was this young man eventually surrender to go to the country of Belize. I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm just saying I thank God that there was somebody there for me that was compassionate enough to listen to my problems, to help me through it, and didn't just look at me and say, and look at me and just push me away from whatever I was going through. Compassion moves you to do great things. Compassion is when my wife's grandmother dies. My pastor Dice comes to the hospital at midnight just to comfort the family. That's compassion. Compassion is being moved to do something, and compassion is usually followed up by an action. And then secondly, I must hasten, if you look at me back in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 7. It says, "And Jesus answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many?" Typically, when I look... Typically, when I read the Bible, I like to try to picture me in that situation. Here's what I believe happened. Of course, it doesn't necessarily say it here, but here's what I believe happened. Out of all the multitude of people, there could have been 10 to 20,000 people. Out of the multitude of people, there's a young lad, could have been 12 years old. The Bible doesn't say how old he was, but they said he was a lad. Came out and said, "Here, I have 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes." I could just imagine Andrew taking the 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes and place them in the hand of Jesus. And perhaps Andrew was even laughing about it and saying, "But what are they among so many?" And right here, if you look at the lad gave up everything that he had to help feed the multitude. And a lot of times when I picture that, I can just imagine that maybe Andrew was laughing at him. And the Bible also praises childlike faith. And right here, if you actually think about it with the lad, it's childlike faith that he's actually going and giving everything he had to the disciples. And notice this, that originally that lunch was meant for himself, but once he placed it in the hands of Jesus, he fed the multitudes. Once he placed the 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes into the hands of Jesus, the multitudes were fed. And we could use that as a term for money, but I like to use this specifically as part of our life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we are supposed to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Sometimes we look around and we can compare ourselves to people when all we have is 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes to place into the hands of Jesus Christ, and at times we'll try to place whatever we have into the hands of Jesus Christ. We'll say, "But what are they amongst so many?" And we'll begin to start questioning. The will of God when all we want to do is just go and just place our 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes into the hands of Jesus. Many of you heard my testimony last hour, but I came from a very wicked life. I came from a very broken life. I came from a very sinful life. I was into a lot of heavy drugs, a lot of heavy alcohol. Sure, I would love to have been in some of your places to where you actually had the chance to grow up in a Christian home. Sure, I would have loved to have that chance. However, when I came to Jesus Christ and when I got saved, all I had was just this little bit to give to God. See, I don't have the singing ability like some other people. I don't have that ability, but I'm okay with that. because I have something that I can give to God, and all I want to do with my life is say, here's what I have, and I want you to take this, and I want you to bless it, and I want you to use it. I may not have the speaking abilities like some other people have, but I'm okay with that. I just want God to use me with whatever I give him, and I want to place my whole entire life into the hands of God. So that way he can feed the multitudes with it. Sometimes we'll look around and we'll say, boy, I wish I had that speaking ability, or I wish I had that teaching ability, or I wish I had this certain ability. When God has given every single one of us in this room a talent, and it is our job to place that talent into the hands of God and let him use that for his honor and his glory. There are people that are tremendous soul winners. There are people that are tremendous speakers, and all God wants you to do is just to place whatever talent he has given you back into his hands. But I don't have so much to give to God. Neither did this young boy. He gave 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Do you know what a barley loaf is? It's a biscuit size piece of bread. It says 2 small fishes, and he decided to give everything that he had and place them in the hands of Jesus. I wish I could have stopped that time. And then lastly, I have to just touch on this one. If you look at me in verse 12, it says, "And they were filled." When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore, they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I've heard a lot of different stories about what people believe on this, but I believe that that boy gave everything he had. I believe that those 12 baskets were meant for him. I believe because the Bible says that given it shall be given unto you. There are times that I cannot explain why God has how something has happened in my life. As I travel through the country and I try to serve people and I try to do whatever I can throughout the whole entire country. God will perform a miracle on my vehicle or something else, and somehow I have no idea how this happened. When Robin and I, we first started deputation, within a week, the engine blew in our vehicle. I could not explain how in the world we got the money to fix that. But all I know is because the Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." We, to the best of our ability, we try to give God everything we had because we want the blessings of God upon our life. And I had to go fast through the message this morning, but the first observation is that the Lord had compassion. The second observation is the lad supplied the need. And then the third observation is God blessed the lad with the leftovers. If we would just be willing to be a compassionate people that would place everything we have into the hands of God, could you imagine how many people could be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ if we would learn to just place everything we have into the hands of God?